Good morning. We are continuing Eicha. It's a much bigger crew from yesterday. Yesterday was more of a Yeshiva Ladad, almost sitting by myself. We have a bigger crew here. If you didn't get the shiur, first of all, you can find it on YU Torah. Also, you can just let me know after the shiur and I can send it to you. So we started Eicha. Fortunately, I'm uniquely sitting today to, I guess, get into the spirit of Yashva in particular. And yesterday we asked the question that Yirmiyahu asked, Eicha Yashva Vadad. How could it be that Yashva Vadad Ha'ir, Rabasi Am, Ha'yasa Ka'almana, how is it possible that this incredible city became like an almana? Husband passed away. Rabasiva Goyim, Sarasi Bamadinos, Ha'yasa Lamas. It was so great. This was the one that everybody else paid tribute to, and somehow, Hayasalamas became the one that has to pay the taxes. So now, we get into this, there's going to be a few pshatim on just this next pasuk. I don't know if we're going to get past this next pasuk just for today. There's a lot to talk about. So we have Bacho Sivkeh. There's this intense double weeping at night. There's not just stam crying, but double crying, and to the point where, you know, very often in Nevuos, when we want to emphasize a point, so there are different terms used, synonyms. Of course, right? Most unfortunately explain that there are no synonyms in Torah and Tanakh. Everything has nuance, and based on that, when you have a double lashon, so there has to be a pshat. So it could be it's just to show the emphasis, or the fact that the same exact lashon is used, trying to indicate something else, some sort of repetition beyond just. You know, it's not like, you know, Sivkeh Ma'od. It's Bacho Sivkeh. So what's that lashon? She cries intensely at night. V'dima sa lechaya in v'menachem mikol aveha. And she has tears on her cheeks. There's no menachem, no comforting her from all those who all of the ones who loved her. Choriyehu b'agtuva hayula v'ayivi. All of her friends betrayed her, and they have become enemies. So it's sad. It's depressing. What's this Bacho Sivkeh Balaila? So first of all, just to discuss the Laila piece. So the Maharam Rottenberg, one of the Rishonim, he says that this is it's a source or at least the remez to the fact that we read Eicha only at night. Actually speaking to Chacham Ya'ish earlier, and he was saying that some Taimanim have the minhag to read it during the day as well. But the overwhelming majority of Klal Yisrael, has anybody ever heard of a community or a minyan that reads Eicha in the morning? So we have, but our minhag, Klal Yisrael as a whole, reads it only at night. So, what can we contrast this with? Let's think other Megillos. So when do we read other Megillos? Okay. So, I think we can even divide the five Megillos into a category of three and two, as we mentioned yesterday, right? There are three Megillos, Koheles, Rus, and Shir HaShirim, that are in one category. They're different than the other two, because first of all, at least in Nusach Ashkenaz and Nusach Sfard as well, to the exclusion of Eidot HaMizrach, the tune is the same. We have three Megillah tunes, right? We have the really sad Eicha one. We have the more upbeat but very similar Esther one, and the Kohala, Shir, Shirim, and Rus have their own. And those three also we read at similar times. We read them on the Shalosh Regalim. And in certain communities, they don't read them. right? In Edot Mizrach, they don't read Shir HaShirim on Pesach. They read it every Friday night, but they don't read Shir HaShirim on Pesach. And they don't read Koheles on Sukkos. And most do read Rut on Shavuot, most. But that's a little bit, it's like a different category. So those that we read during the day, okay, so that's different. So now let's just talk about the one that's closer, the two Megillos that everybody reads, are Esther and Echa. And we mentioned yesterday there are a lot of comparisons between Av and Adar, between Esther and Echa, the tune we use. So why is it that it's different? What do we do for Purim? How do we read Megillah? When do we read it? Sorry? Okay, just taking off. Super. No. When we read it.
Right.
So we read it at night. Press the light of the Lishnosa Bayom, says the Gemara. We repeat it during the day. Daf Dalet Megillah. No, actually, the day is more important. The halacha. But Lamaisa, the Gemara already mentions that we read it twice. So the question would be, why do we read Echa at night only? We don't read it during the next day. And we read the Megillah at night and by day. So Apshad, I've been saying for years, I usually share this on Purim. I'm usually not sharing Vartlach on Tisha B'Av. And I don't think it's just Vartlach. I think it's really the essence of these days. I guess you can ask the question by Purim: why do we read it twice? Most things that we do, most Kriyos that we do, we don't do twice. We don't do it at night and then during the day. Kriyas HaTorah, the other Megillos, Haftarah. It's a more recent minhag that certain communities will do Kriyas HaTorah and Simchas Torah at night, but that's not really the original. So why is it that we do Megillas Esther at night and during the day? So what I've always said is that the pshan is that it's v'karasa v'layla v'shnosa b'yom. The whole point of that is to live through the challenge of the Megillah. That there's a story, it's very dark, it's scary, what's going to happen, the evil Haman, scary mustache, he's trying to kill the Jewish people. This is horrible, what are we going to do? Achashverosh is a fool, he's falling for everything. What's going on over there? Okay, there's a story, he's in the courtyard, or there's a big something Sarah earlier, he's riding on the horse now, party, second party, and then you see, this is incredible. Like Yehudim Hayis Orav, right? It's incredible, what's going on? There's a miraculous salvation, wow. So the experience on Purim is like a dark, scary, intense situation that then turns to light. Lahirum Haisa Ora. Simcha v'sasim v'yikar. And what we do, I think on Purim, the purpose is that first we cross of a Laila. At night, when things are dark, things are unclear, things are scary, we're not sure what's going to be. We have that at night. But then we have to v'lishnosa bayom, then during the day, to look back, right, when things are clear, to do it a second time, to do a repeat, and look at all the little pieces of the story, and then you appreciate the details, and wow, Hashem is incredible in this story. And then what I usually say to speak about it is that we have to do that in our own lives. You can think of how many tough times, rough patches we went in our own lives, but when you look back, right, in hindsight, like, wow, you know what, that actually worked out for the best. I didn't think about that. You know, this rough passage, this rough interaction I had with this person, this bad situation in this class that I took, in this yeshiva that I was in, and I thought that was a negative thing, and then I realized that it actually added up to who I am today and where I am today, and I'm actually very happy with that. Thank God for all those challenges. That's the v'lishnosa bayom. And that, I think, is the Purim experience. It's to be able to v'lishnosa bayom, to repeat and go back and look back at the negative and be able to see Hashem hidden in everything, behind the mask, right? That's what Purim's about. It's beautiful and it's uplifting. It's not the story of Echa. Unfortunately, Echa, when do we read it? At night. night of Tisha B'Av. Do we do Lishnos Abayom? We don't. We don't have that clarity the next morning. The next morning, we're still on the floor. The next morning, we read the Haftarah. There's a Haftarah of Tisha B'Av, but we're over here in camp, we're going to read it to the Eichatun, just like we did this Pasha, Shir Chosan Yeshayahu. Tisha B'Av morning, there's no Lishnos Abayom. It's Balayla, right? This, like this reveal, this going down, this descending into the dark of the night. Tisha B'Av is not a time of light. I mean, after Tisha B'Av, if Tisha B'Av is a day of mourning, and then we could try to speak about what Nachamu is, but that's this Laila, this darkness of Tisha B'Av that you don't get to see the light from. On Tisha B'Av itself, I don't mean to be too depressing, and I hope Tisha B'Av this year will be a day of Simcha, and if Chas V'Shalom it's not, we'll speak after Tisha B'Av. But as we're getting into the Tisha B'Av zone and we're preparing for the Tisha B'Av that we're used to, so this, I'm not pulling any punches. We're mature adults. And this is what it is. This is what the Mefarshim are telling us. This is what Chazal are telling us. What Yirmiyahu is telling us. Tisha B'Av is not a happy time. There's potential. There's potential for it to be very, very happy. And if it's not a happy time, there should be an element. It's like a paradoxical element of simcha in the Avelus. Meaning there should be a. It should feel right. Meaning in previous Tisha B'Av, for me, when you actually feel the Chorban, when you're connecting to what Tisha B'Av is supposed to be, so it's not like, it doesn't make you want to get up and dance and sing, but there's something that feels right. Maybe it's a personal question. Has anybody ever felt that, where it feels right if it hurts on Tisha B'Av? It feels right. There's like nothing more depressing on Tisha B'Av than not feeling anything. If you're able to feel a little bit of hurt or a little bit of one tear, If there's something that feels right about that, that's not our ideal. I would rather be able to dance in the Beis HaMikdash and not even social distance. You know, that I would love for that. But that's not what Yirmiyahu was talking about here. So that's what the Maharami Rottenberg says for Balayla. I mean, he doesn't say the whole thing. He just says Balayla is the remez to this darkness, to the reading at night. But I'm saying that the deeper, the pedemius behind how we read these Megillos is an indication of that. So now let's talk about B'chos Yivkeh. We're going to get back to that word Balayla. B'chos Yivkeh is this double crying. So the superficial level, simple pshat of why it's repeated is. Oh. Simple reading is show emphasis, to emphasize. But, so we could take a look at Rashi if you want to get started on Rashi. Maybe we already brought it out, and we're almost done with the shiur for today, so we might as well. B'chos Yivkeh, shtei b'chiyos al shnei churbanin. Okay, that's fair, right? There's churban bayis rishon, churban bayis sheni, same date, essentially, Tisha B'Av. So it makes sense that we would, cry for both. Of course, Yirmiyahu didn't experience both. He experienced Churban Bayis Rishon. But, one of the cool things of being a Navi is that you get to know the future to some degree. B'chos Yivkeh, not so cool in this situation, B'chos Yivkeh, she cries and she will also cry in another, 600 years or so when the next Beis HaMikdash is destroyed. Other Mefarshim suggest that it refers to the two Galuyos, the two exiles, right? Because first, who was exiled first of Klal Yisrael? In the Churban Bayis Rishon, who was exiled first? Okay, I started you. What were you going to say? The first three parts of Yehuda? Oh, okay, right. So we're looking for two. So I mean, you could also say like even in the Aseret HaShvatim, there was a divide of Reuven, Gad, and the Chatzim Menasheh, first. But yeah, so there's basically, there were two exiles that took place, removed by two different people. Sancheiru first exiled Ephraim, meaning the Aseret HaShvatim, the ten Shvatim. Sancheiru exiled them first. They tried to attack Yehuda, Chizkiyahu, and with the help of Yeshayahu and the guidance, and of course, all Siyata Deshmaya, completely Siyata Deshmaya, destroyed Sancheiru's army, Sancheiru's Melech Ashur of Assyria. And then, but later on, as we said, Chizkiyahu was a tremendous tzaddik, but his son, Menashe, was a terrible, terrible Rasha, only outdone by his own son, Amon, who was a terrible, terrible Rasha. Yoshiyahu was very righteous, and then his sons weren't so great, nor were his grandsons, and then Churban Bayis. So there were two sets, so it's Becho, Sivkeh, other Mefarshim say, it's the two exiles. First of the Aseret HaShvatim, and then of Yehuda. But perhaps we can suggest other pshatim in Becho Sivkeh, but if we try to understand Balayla as Rashi explains. So let's take a look at Rashi Balayla. Everyone have it? Pasuk Beis, Balayla. Shehamikdash Nisraf Balayla. Because, right, what does it mean, Balayla at night? Is it because that's when the Mikdash was destroyed. Damar Mar, as the master said in the Gemara, Meseches Tanis, it says, Le'es erev hatziso bo es ha'or. Right, this was it took place at night. Devar Acher, another pshat in Balayla. Layla shel b'chiyas meraglim b'tisha b'av garmalahem. Right, so I spoke about this at Shal Shudis this past week, and also anybody who was in any of the Camper Parsha classes. So we spoke about how the night they returned from the 40-day spy mission was Tisha B'Av, and there was crying. There's crying of B'chis Meraglim Tisha B'Av, and that's what caused Tisha B'Av to be the day of mourning until Mashiach comes. So that's another pshat in Balayla. What is Balayla in the night? What night? What specific night? Right? That's the question Rashi is dealing with. What is Balayla in the night? So it's either the night of the Churban HaBayis, or the night of the return of the Raglim and the crying. One last pshat, Davaracher, Balayla, Shekol HaBocha Balayla, Hashemea Kolo, Bochemo. That anybody who cries at night, somebody who hears his voice cries with him. So what does that mean? I'm not sure. A couple of pshatim, but he says, Rashi says, if somebody cries at night, anybody who hears cries with him. Why? I'm not sure. It could be because it's more audible. Crying at night is more audible. So if crying is more audible, you're more likely to hear it, and therefore you're going to cry along. If you don't hear it, you're not going to cry along. Does that shot make sense?
No. How do you hear?
What? So, well, if someone's crying during the day, there's lots of noise and things going on.
Yeah, but then you wouldn't hear it at all.
You wouldn't hear it at all, exactly.
That's what I'm saying. His pshat is that you hear it, and that's why.
Yeah, I mean, the key is the crying at night is audible, and therefore somebody is going to hear it, and therefore they are going to cry with them. Could be that's pshat in Rashi. Another possibility is that crying at night is maybe a little bit more sad. Maybe there's like a little bit more sadness. It's just more heartbreaking to hear someone crying at night. And maybe so if I were to hear someone crying during the day, maybe I wouldn't cry as much. But when I hear them crying at night, I join in a little bit. That's what it means, crying Balayla. Those are two possible pshatim I have in Rashi. I'm not sure if you have other pshatim. If you like one more or the other, it's fine. Just another minute. But I wanted to plug it back in. We're not even halfway done with this pasuk. So I think that if you take these three pshatim in Rashi, you also have three new pshatim in Becho Sivkeh, in the double lashon of double crying, right? Because the first pshat. So what's the first pshat in Rashi? What's Balayla? Right. So the double crying. So the first, it could be that the first Becho, right? Becho is referring to Balayla, that night, the night of the Churban HaBayis, the destruction of the first base of Mikdash. And the Sivkeh, the future crying, the additional crying, is every other future tragedy that will take place on Tisha B'Av. We spoke about that also in some of the shurim we gave, that there are many, many tragedies in Jewish history. Five quoted by the Mishnah and Tanis, but many, many more in Jewish history that came after on this very day. So the Becho Sivkeh, the first one is Balayla, that first night of the Churban HaBayis. But Sivkeh, perhaps, The future cries every subsequent tragedy. Pshat Yirmiyahu saying in Bachal is the first Chorban Bayis, but then every subsequent tragedy is Sivche, it's the future one. What was Rashi's second pshat in Bachal Sivche? What was Rashi's second pshat? Right. So it could be second pshat is the first crying, the Bacho, is that first night, the night of the Chet HaMeraglim. And the Sivke is every future tragedy, or even the Korban HaBayis. It's the Bacho Sivke, it's the Chet HaMeraglim and the Korban HaBayis Rishon. Or the Chet HaMeraglim and every future one. Meaning that's another pshat in Bacho Sivke. Is based on Rashi's Balayla, is that we're talking about the Chet HaMeraglim and then everything else, or the Chet HaMeraglim and then the Korban HaBayis. And what was the third pshat?
More audible,
and therefore what's going to happen? Somebody who hears is going to cry with him. So it could be that the double crying, the one who hears the cry will cry along, could be that second crier could be Hashem himself. The Becho Sivke. We know Imo Nochi Batsara, says Hashem. I am with them in suffering. We spoke about this yesterday a little bit. That more than the Chorban HaBayis hurts us, even on our best Tisha B'Av, it hurts Hashem constantly. Gemara in Brachos, Gemara in Daf Gimel, but all over speaks about how Hashem constantly mourns for the Beis Hamikdash. So Becho Sivke, the double crying, you know who it is? Maybe it's all of us. On Tisha B'Av night with Eicha, maybe it's that during the next day at some point. But there's a double crying. Somebody else is crying too. We may not hear him. Maybe if we listen carefully at night, maybe we'll hear him. But Hashem is crying with us. And again, the pain over the Korban for him is greater than ours, and it could be that itself is really the problem. Okay, we should be able to turn it around.